Important is that we understand God's language and that we respond to it and that we don't add anything to the testimony of the scripture and take nothing away from it. Actually, I wanted to show you in these days the nice picture of Mr. Reagan and Mr. Gorbachev, where they are shown on the front page of the magazine The Star. And Gorbachev has the peace dove in his hand, and the dove has a leaf of an olive tree in its spout, as in the days of Noah, when Noah released the dove from the ark. Then she returned with this leaf of the olive tree, and the same can be seen now. Maybe I can bring it tomorrow. As it was in the days of Noah, so it is now again. In every way and view, I may not go into politics, for this is my second nature. But I'm grateful to God that I don't oversleep anything, but that I'm also here up to date. Thanks be to the Lord for His word. How many were already blessed? Amen. How many are glad about that God's word is so clear as never before, not in parables, but free and open. The Lord speaks with all of us by grace, so that we are brought up to date in the kingdom of God. This is just necessary, and for this God has given grace. When Brother Rus mentioned Jonathan Paul, the man whom God used to make the Pentecost experience actually known in Germany, a man of God. I know personally the son-in-law of Jonathan Paul, namely Brother Fiter, and personally Lardong, the son-in-law of Fiter. I'm an old-timer. You can ask me about everything, be it in the Lutheran Church, in the Baptist Church, or in the Pentecostal movement. I should go to Bible school at Gunten many years ago when Squire was a Bible teacher there. I should go to Koldin many years ago, and who knows where. But God had a totally different way with me. He didn't want that I beforehand take all these things into me. He wanted that my heart stays empty to then be filled. And how grateful I'm for it. There were hard times, you know that very well. If a brother to whom one looks up says to you, if you ever want to have open doors, then you must go to Bible school. And when the pressure is then put on you, and one gets a few days to think it over, but knows straight away, this is not your way. This is not your way. The way of God was totally different. And when I back then heard Brother Branham, I really like to remember the whole week. This was the most wonderful week of meetings that I ever experienced, from one Sunday to the other Sunday. I preached at Erwin Müller in Karlsruhe when there was not even a hall and no large congregation, but there were just about 35 people present. So I also know this story and the development in some kind of way. Now, let us leave all this and let us rejoice that no one could hold us back. As it is written, or as the hymn writer sings it, even one holds me, yet I run away. It was the Spirit of God who worked all this in us. And back then, when the preachers gave their judgments, God has laid into my heart the divine judgment. And I knew this man is not of the devil. This man is a man of God. For no one could do these works that happened there unless God is with him. And what was it? Jealousy has eaten them all up because they could not show up with anything. And they prayed for inward things that could never be checked. And here was a man. He prayed for them who were born blind. Brother Karl Strauss, were you present when this professor laid on the stretcher in the front, marked by death? And Brother Branham said, "The light is over you," and so forth. And then he stood up and took the stretcher and walked out, given up by the Red Cross. He was carried in. Yes, brother, you know it. You heard of it. Exactly right. Yes, we have old-timers in our midst. God bless you. May God bless us all. From the Gospel of John, I would like to read now, and then we go into some other scriptures, and then we will have the Lord's Supper. From the Gospel of John 1, verse 16. And I would be happy if we would not sleep now, but later on, that we would be here today in the matter. Gospel of John, chapter 1. I may also not forget to thank my beloved brother Kupfer with all my heart for his faithfulness, for the translations, and for his self-abandonment. What is connected with this, God knows it. From the Gospel of John 1, verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. I think we can testify of this with all our hearts. I quoted it, and I want to read it now. From Exodus, I think it was. I have to pay attention, because one day I read the German Bible, and then again the English. In any case, it is written in Exodus 33 that God granted to Moses his request, and he heard him and showed him his ways and passed before him with all his goodness. In Exodus 33, verse 18, it says, and Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. When the Lord God lets his glory pass before our spiritual eyes, and we may behold it, then he reveals unto us his name. And that's why the name of Jesus has become so precious, so valuable unto us. He revealed himself to us, and he transfigured unto us his name. And then it says, in the last part, of verse 19, and will be gracious to him to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And we may say, he took care of us. He was merciful and gracious unto us. However, to Moses he had to say, and to it I read verse 23, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. In the Old Testament, God turned his back to the people. First, the sacrifice, the reconciliation, the redemption had to take place before we could see the face of God. And here, Moses saw the back part, but he saw the Lord God. The Lord is not a myth, he is a person. Do you all believe this? I believe it with all my heart. He walked in the Garden of Eden. He came to Abraham. He sat down and his feet were washed. And the two angels went to Sodom. And the Lord remained with Abraham. Genesis 18, verse 17, it says, there the Lord said, how can I hide before Abraham what I am about to do? Oh yes, the Lord revealed himself to his servants and prophets in various ways, and then he became man, born as the Son, to make the beginning for the sonship. And now we received the adoption of sons, and he has laid the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, so that we can say, Abba, Father. If you wanted to exhaust the gospel here, then we would need a long time for it. I believe that God helps us, and that we continue to go from clarity to clarity and from knowledge to knowledge. But also the practical part that we heard from the sermon of Brother Branham, and then also in the following meetings, we don't want to disregard. The time must be here where word and walk agree, where life agrees with a testimony, that word and church becomes one and come into lockstep, of which Brother Branham saw that some stepped out of line. And sadly, he has seen there ladies who had a European appearance. He mentions there two countries, and here somebody may say, but us, he didn't mention, so everything is all right. Who knows the sermon, and who knows what he said there? Let us rather not read it, because then there are again people who make a thing out of it. Let us not make anything out of it, but let us learn the lesson that must be learned of it. When God shows a thing, whether he says there the lady looked like a German or from Sweden or Switzerland, doesn't matter. all of us, we have been addressed, all of us are meant, and we all have to take care to come into lockstep with God. And not to say, huh, our country, he didn't mention there, because then we need it most. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says from verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What a wonderful word. And here, our elderly sisters may remember the time where bread was still baked and you left a little bit of the dough and then it was leavened and that dough was taken care for, that one could continue to bake and that the dough was expanding. We have seen it many times. I still remember the time where the breads were put into the oven and then taken out again. But now, one should not transfer the one into the other, but one shall purge out the old leaven. What did we say? Many times, people came out from various denominations, but they brought with them old leaven. May I ask, who is really ready to purge out the old leaven out of the house fully and totally, to put it out from the heart? But before you say yes or amen here, I have to ask whether you know what old leaven is. What did Jesus say? Beware of the old leaven of the scribes and Pharisees. And they thought by themselves, oh my goodness, now he speaks here of the bread. And then he suddenly says, I didn't speak to you of the natural bread, but of the doctrine of the scribes and Pharisees. Sometimes you have to push people's noses at things first, so that they realize that they are actually there. All doctrines that are not biblical, that are not in conformity with the word, with the testimony, with the message, we have to put them out. And who is ready for it? All. There is no other way. There is no unleavened bread of sincerity and truth if we have mixed old leaven to it. Who will from today on keep his mouth shut about biblical things and leave it up to the proclamation and will not dare to judge about things which have only been left to the proclamation? Are you sisters also ready for it? Of course, all of us. There is no other way. All of us, we have to speak one language. And also this is written in the Bible, that we shall not go beyond the scripture, but that we have to abide within the limits of the scripture. We cannot and don't want to go here into details, but it always happens that old ideas which were passed on from generation to generation, that they are digged out again, and the people are then brought into unrest, and this is not necessary at all. I believe that the time has come to let God have the say-so, and we all submit under it and agree with it. Also to that, what was said already, I still would like to add something. When things can be made well again, then also there is a right way to do it and a wrong way. For instance, when you went to a Mr. Lehmann and you said, brother so-and-so has done this and that, and this is such and such a person, then you cannot go to brother XYZ and say, brother, there I said something. Then go to that Lehmann, with whom you spoke about that brother, and make it well there, take it back there. If I have stolen from Kalafutsky, then I certainly cannot go to Piotitsku. I of course have to go there, where the thing has to be put in order. This is a very nice thing. One just comes and says, yes, brother, you know I have and I have. Whether I know this or not, this doesn't solve your problem. Go and make it well, namely there where you have done wrong. And then you don't have to come to me at all. You can save yourself a way. You see, it is just necessary. What did Zacchaeus say when the Lord was gracious to him and his house? He said, where I have cheated, there I will pay back. I will restore him fourfold where I have stolen. He didn't say, dear Savior, you know, I didn't deal properly with his guests at the custom. I have taken too much from them, and this not once, a couple of times. He said, I will go and restore. He could have said 10 times to the Lord, and it would not have been corrected. He must go there where he has to fix things. Did we understand this? Only then, God can give grace and make the damage really well again, only in this way. Who said it? Brother Branham, in that sermon, he said, we tend to make a shortcut, to shorten things. We want to reach the destination sooner, and we deviate from the way and end up in the field. And with this, we didn't achieve anything. I believe that these meetings were determined by God to give us the basis, to lay the foundation, so that we know how we have to deal with one another, And also this I want to tell you. I think I mentioned it already. Let us become grown-ups in the Spirit and recognize when the devil draws on us and whispers to us things against a brother or against a sister. We want to cut the thread here, to not even permit that it comes over our lips. Only then, when it has come over our lips, then it causes damage. If it is only a thought that touches us, with this we can deal and say, Lord, you see, I didn't want it. But when we speak it out, then we hardly can take it back, and very seldom we can make it well again. Let the enemy not whisper anything to you against a brother or against a sister. See the brother and the sister through Christ, the way God sees us. And as you want to be seen by God, so do also grant the brother that God sees him the same way as he sees you, as justified, as pardoned, as his possession, for whom he has shed his holy blood. We could save ourselves a lot of grief if we don't give room to the slanderer. But it is written, give no room to the devil. Shall we obey it from now on? Amen. Amen. Just to discern what is being said there, whether it serves for edification or for destruction. Everything what comes from God serves for edification of the church of the living God. Now, I will read from 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, and here from verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 13. A word directed to us in this hour. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and set your hope completely on the grace, on nothing else, on no brother, on no experience, on nothing. Set your hope completely on the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now a question. How many received the revelation of Jesus Christ? You all know what is written in the last book of the Bible. Revelation of Jesus Christ that God has given to him, to John, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Jesus Christ is only seen by divine revelation in his divinity. And here we are clearly told that we should gird up the loins of our mind. And being sober and set our hope completely on the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Has the Lord revealed himself to you? Then this is grace. then this is grace. The Lord passed before Moses. He saw his back. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is revelation of Jesus Christ, and this is grace if we experienced it. So, this word to gird up our loins is not addressed to all, but to them who in the revelation of Jesus Christ have recognized the grace of God that was given to them. In verse 14 it says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. This afternoon, we spoke of some things about which I never spoke before. If now it is written here, be ye holy in all manner of conversation, then I really want to know it now. I want to know it from all of you, whether it is possible to be holy in marriage. Better than without marriage. The first institution of God on earth was, it is not good that man is alone. I will make him a helpmate who is around him. Marriage is holy. There are, of course, people, as Luther said it, this may not be repeated here. He always had the Pope by the short and curlies. He said he throws sin at everything, even marriage. Marriage is an holy institution. Where's the Amen? Why do I say this? I want that all know what sin is. Sin is transgression of the law, of the commandments, or not. Sometimes people who call everything sin and live in the worst sin that exists, namely, in the sin of unbelief as far as it will go, and criticize the whole world and don't make any progress. It is possible to live a holy life on earth in the condition in which God has put us. I could go here now to Leviticus chapter 17 and list you here one after the other, what God declared to be holy. But each one of you has the Holy Scripture, and therefore, please accept it today, whether you are alone or a couple, whatever. It is possible to live a holy life with God. And the thought came to me, when you show me sound marriages and sound families, then I will show you a sound church. What did we say? The church begins in marriage and in the family, and it becomes the church. But we must also have clarity about what sin is. Sin is transgression of the law of God and of the commandments of God. This is sin. We have set it forth here already. And Paul, right this point, he described very deep and wide. He said, we would not know what sin is, and says, the law was our schoolmaster, and we were kept under the law until grace would be manifested. Without the law, we would not have recognized our transgressions, and we would not have understood the necessity of redemption. God knew very well what he does. I read on. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. In which fear? Fear of punishment? No, in the fear of God. In the fear of God, which is therein, that we respect his word and do not transgress it. Why did our Lord say that in the one commandment all commandments are contained, the law and the prophets? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all your mind, and so forth, and thy neighbor as thyself. Therein is the whole law and the prophets. Therefore, the law is nothing oppressing at all. On the contrary, he was placed under the law to serve the law and to bring us into the wonderful liberty of the children of God, into the liberty which is within the limits of the Word of God and will forever remain in it. We read on here in verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We have been purchased by the precious blood. Out of children of men, we're made children of God. And as Brother Branham said it so nicely in this example, when a child is born into this world, then it is washed, and hence here a washing of water by the word takes place, because we were born again unto a living hope. God just wants to put everything in order. He wants to eliminate every doubt, every uncertainty, every unclarity everything he wants to eliminate. He wants to be sure that we know what it is about. Ignorance, that's how one says it already in the vernacular. Ignorance is no excuse. The chastisement was laid on him that we might have peace, and by his stripes we were healed. In verse 20 it says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Do you see what it's about here? Not only he, but also we were foreordained before the foundation of the world by God. And as Brother Branham set it forth, Abel brought the sacrifice and he gave its life there on the altar, on the field. We brought our sacrifice. God brought it to us. It is Christ. But we come to Calvary and confess to have been crucified with him. And I hope that we not just say it, but that it is so. Now I live no more, but Christ lives in me. Do we have to make a long face to it? Can we wear a cowboy outfit if need be? Can we do mountain climbing, Brother Zink? Can we do that? Can we go fishing? Can I still drive with my Mercedes? Most certainly. But most certainly, what did we understand? Not a moral equipping, but a new birth by the Spirit. And we remain earthly, totally normal and reasonable people. With believers who have become unreasonable, with them I don't like to be together. I prefer reasonable people. You also. God has given us the grace, and I know that in these days, at this place, great things take place. It may be that not every word is for everyone, but for everyone is enough in the word, that he can go home with it and putting it into practice. And when we all do that, and we then come together again, for instance, at Easter, yes, then it could be that the cloud of glory will hover over us here. Oh yes, it depends on us. God wants to manifest himself. God will manifest himself. We have to create the atmosphere or allow him that he creates the atmosphere. I notice that the time is up. Brother Rus, as tactful as ever, he didn't pull yet my jacket. Let me still read from the Holy Scripture. There are so many words. I don't know whether you feel like I do. To me, the word has become so precious again. Newly opened, new light, new clarity. The old word has become new, illuminated by the Holy Spirit. I would like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? This is it. It is not only a memorial meal. A memorial meal also. We remember that what happened on Calvary. At the same time, we see the result, the outcome of Calvary, the church of the living God that was purchased and that was brought into existence. Both applies. Memorial meal, but also fellowship. Fellowship with the body of Christ. Both applies. And in verse 17 it says, for we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. The Lord has also taken care for that we don't distribute round wafers here. Once I have seen this in South Africa, how the people handle this in the Roman Church. No, we are grateful to God without being puffed up. We don't break rolls here and then give the rest somewhere else. We break one single bread that was baked without leaven. And the one bread represents on one hand the body of the Lord who was offered, and then the body as the church that came into existence as a result of the sacrifice of Calvary. And for this we are grateful with all our heart. For it is written here, for we being many are one bread. Brothers and sisters, in the presence of God, we make up one body, a unity. And as the bread is one bread, so we are all one body in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 and 13. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Many members, but one single body, the body of the Lord, the church of the living God. Are you part of it? Say amen. Amen. We know it. We know it. A sister asked whether it is necessary that one was baptized in the Spirit. I know that Brother Branham has really said it in a sermon. But who wants to hold judgment among us today and judge who it is and who is not? I can only say that we found grace before God, and the Lord said to Moses, when I see the blood, then I will pass over you. If we are part of the blood-bought multitude, then His Spirit bore witness to our spirit that we have become children of God by His grace. And when the Lord sees the blood, then nothing can happen to us anymore. Also, this thought is worthwhile to be mentioned. Who was under the coverage of the blood? the firstborn of Israel, who is today under the coverage of the blood of the Lamb, the firstborn who have the birthright and who have been born into the family of God. Thanks be to God for it. Confess to that what happened on Calvary with all your heart and with all your soul. If you didn't experience it yet, may it be given to you now, that you literally feel what a grief, what a pain our Lord and Savior had to endure there. Come to your sacrifice. Lay yourself upon the altar of God with your sacrifice. The sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, was slain. Therefore, let us hold feast in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Are we also ready to purge out the rest of the leaven of malice and wickedness and all what could still be there? Today, in this hour, now, to purge it out and say, Lord, search and try me, for I don't know where I'm still lacking. Reveal to me by the Spirit where the devil still fools me, how he still wants to have a right on me, and say then, by faith, Satan, you have lost your right on me. I belong to Christ. I'm his possession. We were purchased with a high price. Let us bring glory to God through our life. He died in our stead, that we live here in his stead, the divine life, and continue the divine service until the church comes from believing unto seeing. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. We are of divine kindred. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be unto the Almighty God. Amen.